The Senate will be in order. The prayer will be offered by Senator Schultz from Crawford. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Senate Page Isabel Hansen.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we stand before you to give thanks. There is so much to give thanks to you for that we forget how good we have it as we look at the trouble and division and pain in this world. So today we want to give thanks. We give thanks for the opportunity to meet as a state legislature to do the work of the Iowa people, your people. We give thanks for the pages that you've delivered down to this Senate and the House. We thank you for their efforts, for their interest in being part of the system. And even during this difficult time with COVID-19 and the changes we made, we thank you for their extra opportunity for them to be part of the system as they run the machinery of our subcommittees, as they become an even more integral part. And we ask your blessings that these experiences will carry forward with them for the rest of their lives. We thank you for the clerks who have come down to work. We thank you for the patience that they will have to show as they work from cubicles and not from desks, that additional rules will make their job a little tougher. But we thank you that they're willing to do it. Without them, it would be a mess at our desks and in our cubicles. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Capitol staff who have worked here all year round. We thank you for the planning that they put into place. We thank you for the plans that you gave them that we could go ahead and meet despite the difficulties. And we thank you for the legislators, both new and old, the newly elected and those who have returned. We thank you for their willingness to put themselves on the ballot. And we ask that the new legislators are blessed in their efforts and that they find this a rewarding experience. And we ask that they do good for Iowa. We ask that the more senior experienced legislators are healthy mentors that point them toward the good of Iowa and working together to make Iowa a better state. Heavenly Father, this weekend, it seems there's going to be weather moving in, at least tonight, maybe already in western Iowa. And we thank you for the DOT who's going to go out there into those conditions and clear the roads that Iowa can continue to travel. We thank you for the opportunity to have a structure in place that operates regardless of the weather, sun, snow, rain, ice. And we ask for safe travels for everybody this weekend. Speaking of safe travels, here we will ask you, as we finish our first week in the legislature, we ask for safe travels home for everybody from employees back to their home to clerks, pages, and legislators back to their districts and to their distant homes. And we ask for refreshing worship of you and safe travels back to the Capitol for next week. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there senators to be excused?
Let's just keep whatever you want to do because the House isn't here.
We are now at that point in time for announcements and introductions. For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer, seek the floor?
Mr. President, an announcement or a clarification?
You are in order.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that Senator Nunn be granted a leave of absence and be excused for the 2021 session until he returns from military service.
The senator will be excused, and we appreciate his service. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Bisignano.
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I in order for a point?
Well, not yet, Senator. We will get to that in just 1 second. We're on announcements and introductions. Are there any other senators seeking the floor for announcements or introductions? Seeing none, we're now at that point for points of personal privilege. Senator Bisignano, you are in order.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues of the Senate, I rise at the end of our first week. I just want to add on to Senator Schultz, his prayer. Senator Schultz prayed for good weather, safe weather, and our DOT. I pray for our National Guard. I watch the news. We now have thousands of troops staying, sleeping in our Capitol in Washington, D.C. Hasn't happened since the Civil War. So at a time when this country celebrates its democracy, it celebrates our peaceful transition of power, that we show the world why we're the most powerful nation. We are not celebrating this year. And our guard is not safe. And I'm here today, the only day, to go hear a speech to the National Guard to show them the respect that they deserve, that they didn't ask for. They're ready when they're needed. And the fact that we have to bring troops into our U.S. Capitol to protect themselves and our property against Americans. It's the first time our troops have protected themselves against Americans to defend the U.S. Capitol, the most powerful nation that God has ever created. And here we are today, going into inaugural weekend, with barricades, troops, riot gear, fear, anxiety, and why? Why are we? Well, I'm going to say this, senators. Each and every one of you, those who I have not had the opportunity to befriend, which I will, the statistics that are out, whether we believe them or we don't, is that almost half of this country believes that the election was stolen, which tells me three out of four Republicans believe it, which tells me some of you still believe it. And if some of you believe it, that's the problem. Because people count on us for the truth. That's who we are. When I go home and I see people, they think, tell me what's going on. Because they hear rumors. That's what the workplace is. Hey, have you heard this and have you heard that? Hey, I heard this and I heard that. Well, we don't hear things and hear that. We know things and we know that. And so when you talk to someone and you mislead them with misinformation, you have done not only them a disservice, you have discredited yourself and you have discredited the state. So time for a new beginning. We always like to come in here the first week and talk about, hey, let's work together. People want bipartisanship. Well, I've always been one who likes bipartisanship. I think things are better with bipartisanship. I think unchecked power is dangerous. I think input from the opposition is always good. And I don't think just listening is one thing. I think doing is another. So if we want to show and we want to set an example, because right now, I don't know if you know this, you know, we always watch what the FBI and Homeland Security does. They have set out what they believe to be 50 terrorist targets. We've never seen that in the United States of America, where our security tells us we have identified potentially 50 targets for terrorism. Within the same week, you're sitting in one. You're sitting in one. We're a target. Why are we a target? Why are we a target? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think it's been misinformation, misdirected emotion, anger, disappointment. And then we decide to just deny that we lost. You know, wouldn't that be great if every time we competed that we could say, hey, I'm going into the state finals here as a wrestler. The only way I'm going to get beat is if I get cheated. And I keep saying that. I say it 2 months before my event. And then lo and behold, I wasn't the better man. I got beat, but oh no, I got cheated. And I keep saying I got cheated. And not only is that a lie, but I have discredited the individual who won, who was successful. So it doesn't just start at the top of the man who can't stand to lose. That trickles down to everybody. And it's trickled all the way to the Iowa Capitol, to where we are now target. Well, I can tell you, I watched that insurrection, if you want to use the word, because that's what it was. It was a government overthrow. And I saw them break windows. I saw them looking for our vice president, calling out for him. If you could imagine that our president would direct an angry mob to the Capitol, knowing that the vice president of the United States and the entire Congress is in that building? Think about it. Because once those doors are rushed, and once these galleries are full, and once weapons are pulled out, you don't look any different than me. And if you think you do, and they know how to sort you out, I'm coming right next to you. Because if they shoot at me, I hope they hit you. Because this is absurd. This is absurd to be in this building and be afraid. It's absurd to think that you could intimidate the Iowa Senate or the Iowa legislature. It's real insanity to think you could intimidate the U.S. Congress and the Supreme Court and all the courts in all the states and all the governors in all the states and all the Secretary of States in all the states. One man thought he could, and because he couldn't, 50 state capitals are terrorist targets today. So as we move into this session, we can't control the tenor in D.C. Very disappointed in our three new congresspeople who voted no on impeachment, which was an obvious, blatant crime. They have no ties to D.C. They don't have any loyalties to all the people and all the deals in the swamp. We sent three fresh people. I respect each one of them. But they chose to go along already. That was wrong what happened, and it should have been condemned, and it should have been condemned by everybody. But this is Iowa, and this is us, and this is me. And the fact that some people have put my life in jeopardy, have put my friends in jeopardy, is a shame, and it's a stain that will be on anyone that went out and gave misinformation about a rigged election, knowing it wasn't true, knowing it's not true. So if we want to go forward, and we really want to be bipartisan, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. We work together. We listen to each other. We try to de-escalate when we sense that emotions are going in the wrong direction. You and I could have one hell of a fight in the Senate. But the people on the outside don't understand our relationship, that we have dinner plans. Because we're business people. We understand how politics works. We do disagree. We do debate. But then there's another day, another hour. And that's when we come together on that bill. But if we divide so hard, we can't ever come together on anything. And that's disturbing to me, because I know what the Senate works like when it's bipartisan. I know you have an agenda. I know you have a responsibility to pass the budget, and I expect you to do it. I don't condemn you for that. I will debate you on parts of what you bring forward, but it is your right because you are the majority. But as the majority party, you don't have the right to determine my life. I got elected like you did. There isn't one person in this room that's any better than I am. And I probably got more votes than a lot of you. But it doesn't matter. We're all elected equal. Then we come in here and we pick a coach. That's how we run. And we respect our leaders, regardless of party, as long as they respect every member in this chamber. Because without respect, nothing is going to move forward here. It's going to be angry. It's going to be contentious. and people are going to hold grudges. And we're falling down that dark hole of politics that when I got in this business in 1988, what did not exist in this building? What's happened is we all watch too much TV. It's just like your kids that go watch sports and then get up in the batter's box and, you know, try to act like Derek Jeter. Don't imitate what you always see on TV. I left home today watching Sesame Street. I'm in a good mood. Because if I would have put on CNN or NBC, God forbid Fox, I wouldn't be in a good mood today. I don't know anything that can sour people more than to turn on the national news and start watching it, regardless of what side you're getting. So it's us, my friends, it's us. 50 of us will be judged on who we are and how we behave and the example we set. And if my child was in their informative years of watching TV now, I would have a very difficult time explaining to them about America, about the United States, about democracy, about elections, about violence, because this is now going to skew a generation of our kids. That's a shame. Because it's just like racism. You're not born with it. You're taught it. So we all have a responsibility, not only to our families, not only to ourselves, to these members, to these pages, to our clerks, and to our staff. Not to do things to incite people to come in and harm us all. You know, it's funny because when you watch D.C. and when you watch the House and they were warned that they were under attack, I didn't see the Republicans stay on the floor and say, hey, I know them. They ain't going to bother me. I support them. I'm with Trump. No, they scurried like ground squirrels off that floor just like the Democrats did. Because at that point, their life was in peril. And they took off, because at that point, they didn't think they could trust all their friends busting in the doors and recognizing them. So it's us. Let's set that example starting today. I'm here to pay respects to the National Guard. That's why I'm here, other than a subcommittee that I have today. And we'll get to that later in this session. But I just want to say, it's up to us to set the tone with our friends, neighbors, constituents, in the public, everywhere we go. Tell the truth. Tell them how you feel. You don't have to agree with the truth, but you don't have a right to change the truth. The days of fake news, the days of alternative facts are over. They don't exist. So my colleagues, I look forward to meeting those of you who I haven't, because I am a high-spirited person, but I am bipartisan, and I'm fair. But I have my limits. When my life is put in jeopardy, in harm's way, because of someone else's rhetoric, I resent that. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Trungariat, seek the floor?
Mr. President, am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
You are in order.
It is my personal privilege to speak out on behalf of my constituents and to stand up for their ability to engage with state government and be heard in the process of lawmaking. This is the reason why I am here. It is the reason that why all of you are here. It is our privilege. It is our job. Over the course of the past year, I spoke with thousands of constituents of every political affiliation. I heard from grandparents who had not seen their grandchildren and children in months due to the grave risk that the virus posed to them, and likewise from the family members of long-term care residents who hadn't embraced their loved ones. Educators told me of their exhaustion of trying to teach in person and online at the same time. Teachers like my own son's teacher, who have 31 third graders in their online class, because their districts did not have any additional funding to hire the staff needed to support students in quarantine, to make social distancing truly possible, or facilitate online education. I heard from parents like me, who had already been stretched to the limit, now asked to do the impossible and keep working, parenting, educating in the middle of a disaster. Childcare providers shared their stress at trying to access enough PPE and cleaning supplies to keep their children and staff safe, while trying to hold on to their employees and keep their doors open. Neighbors who lost their jobs, worrying, reached out asking how they would keep a roof over their heads or even buy food when their unemployment benefits came to an end too soon, and others who could not get a straight answer about why their benefits were withheld or delayed. Business owners shared with me how frustrated they were that CARES Act monies were being misappropriated to fund our governor's staff when they struggled to keep their own workers on the payroll. And I heard from healthcare workers who had to reuse the same paper surgical mask like I'm wearing for days. And constituent after constituent was asking, why can't I get a COVID test? Why do the results take so long? When will I get a vaccine? Never in those thousands of conversations did anyone ever say what their families needed the most in this time was to reinstate the death penalty. Yet despite the significant, pressing, devastating challenges that the people of Iowa face right now, that they need a remedy to right now, 4 days into the session, this is what we focus our energy on? If we are to convene this body in the midst of a pandemic, as we climb the peak of yet another surge, if we are going to gather in circumstances that our own Department of Public Health has determined put staff and legislators in a high-risk category, let's at least make it somewhat worthwhile to our state and focus on the things that Iowans need right now. The only thing we should be focusing on putting to death is this virus. The people of Iowa, let alone legislators, still do not even understand how this virtual subcommittee process will work. There has been no education for the public on how they can take part. The links for public comment and Zoom access are buried on the legislative website. I've been scrambling to get information about how this process will work and communicate it to my constituents. In no circumstances should we ever proceed on matters so grave of such consequence without the people's input and with so much clarification needed. We are here to make sure that people have access to a fair and transparent process, that their voices are heard, that their concerns are addressed. It is not only our privilege, but it is our duty. Let us show Iowans that we take that duty seriously. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Scott, Senator Smith, seek the floor?
Would I be in order for a personal point?
You are in order.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's been a couple years since I've had a personal point in this chamber, so I'm kind of excited for today. So to the senator from Polk, my good friend on the other side of the aisle, I heard you talk about speaking the truth. I commend you for saying that on this floor. Let's talk about the truth and what's said on the Senate floor. We have a voter ID bill that was run in 2017, and we heard it was going to suppress the vote. Multiple senators. I stood at this desk, I ran that bill, and it was said in this chamber that we're going to suppress the vote. Fast forward to 2018, record turnout for midterm elections. No suppressing the vote. Was that the truth that was spoken that day? Let's talk about an election bill in 2018. I stood right at this desk, I ran the bill, suppressed the vote, heard it again. Stood here in June of 2020, it was gonna suppress the vote. We heard it again. It's a common frame in this chamber. It's going to suppress the vote. Let's fast forward then to November 2020, record turnout. Record turnout. Didn't suppress any vote. So that's the truth, is that it's record turnout, and election bills do not suppress the vote. We have the facts on our side. So on this day, January 14th, 2021, and I will remind the chamber of this day when another election bill comes to the floor and I'm standing at this desk and I'm running it, and I will remind the chamber of speaking the truth, January 14th, 2021, and if we hear from my good friends on the other side of the aisle that they might say it's suppressing the vote, we now know what the truth is, and the truth is when we run election bills, we get record turnout. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Dickinson, Senator Whiting, seek the floor?
Mr. President, am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
You are in order.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I actually prepared remarks in response to what we heard and saw on the floor yesterday from the senator from Johnson. But one point that my good friend, and I'll say to my Republican colleagues, you're going to like Senator Bisignano. I like Senator Bisignano. Living in fear in the Capitol is not a good thing. And I remember very acutely sitting in desk 19 in the middle of a subcommittee of the whole in the Senate chamber, being whisked off the floor of the Senate by the Secretary of the Senate, put in a secure room with 10 of my colleagues and staff, and we had no idea why we were in there. And you know what we were doing when we were in there? Counting guns and bullets, because we didn't know if we were going to make it out or if we were going to have to shoot our way out. Our Capitol was under siege in June, and to my good friend, Senator Bisignano, your speech that you just gave, it may have carried more weight if you gave it in June of 2020 instead of January of 2021. But I came to the floor to speak about what happened yesterday. The senator from Johnson took a heroic stand on the Senate floor yesterday. He boldly stated that his First Amendment rights don't stop when he walks into the chamber. It's an interesting thought. The senator from Johnson is right. Senators don't shed their First Amendment rights when they walk in the door. Senators are bound, however, to follow the rules this chamber sets forth. And if a member allegedly violates those rules and is called on a point of order, that may be a necessary limit on the exercise of their First Amendment right. And notably, the public doesn't shed their rights at the door either. Mr. President, the First Amendment generally protects against government action discriminating against speech, against the content and viewpoint of that speech. But there is a chilling movement afoot. Government can wash its hands and say it's not regulating the content or viewpoint of speech because there's a new breed of censorship emerging. Liberal Silicon Valley tech and so-called public health experts. Now, the big tech debate is something we can have another time. I have plenty of thoughts on that. But the political weaponization of public health is a grave threat to our First Amendment rights as well. It goes back to the headlines that we've seen over the past few months. And indeed, it appears that the notion of the public health is being used to discriminate against speech. Under this dangerous view, the content or viewpoint of one's speech determines whether or not it is safe, according to the public health. Sturgis is a super spreader. Governor Reynolds' condition of the state speech is a super spreader. Monday's gathering to protest against wearing masks in the Capitol was a super spreader. The senator from Johnson told us so. These are super spreader events because of the content or viewpoint that is being shared at the gathering. So what is not a super spreader event? Protests and riots in the streets of Des Moines, Seattle, Portland, Minneapolis, and many cities across the country this summer. The capture of a Seattle police precinct and the establishment of a sovereign commune, which I think they called the CHOP or the CHAZ or whatever they called it, a city within a city in Seattle. The email I got this week about Tuesday's protest on, the north side of the Capitol for a mask mandate. Any protest against Republicans or President Trump? Those are not super spreader events. Do you see where I'm going with this, Mr. President? This isn't science. The left is weaponizing science because their goofy ideas on climate change, drugs, public health, and a host of other issues are not validated through the democratic and electoral process. So instead, They weaponize science in the culture and on social media to attack and limit the rights of so-called science deniers. I've been called one before. And that's what's really happening here, Mr. President, and it was on full display on the floor of the Iowa Senate yesterday. And it isn't just limited to the floor of the Iowa Senate, Mr. President. The senator from Lynn isn't here, but he's sure tweeting a lot. Last time I checked, 16,000 tweets made from his account. He was tweeting on the condition of the state speech. Not so much about the hopeful and positive message the governor conveyed about positive stories coming in times of adversity, about a strong vision for this legislative session and many bipartisan solutions to the issues that we face. Nope, nothing on that. Rather, a senator, a man who wasn't in the room, spent his time counting the people in the room who weren't wearing masks. I was one of those that he identified. What he didn't tweet about was how many Democrats were there. My House colleagues identified 4 to 5. I identified only, perhaps, Senator Reagan and Senator Kinney. And if I missed any of you, I apologize. Now, of course, none of this, Mr. President, none of this is helpful to the discourse. None of this solves any problems. None of this advances one good bit of policy to help get Iowa back on track. But apparently it will help certain members of the minority raise money from their fat cat donors. I believe that's also a phrase that the senator from Johnson likes to use a lot, fat cat donors. And so to my freshman colleagues, if you were completely put off by yesterday's theatrics, know this. Ultimately, you are not effective in this chamber, and you cannot advance good policy for Iowa when you act like that when you're in a 31-18 minority. Iowans gave legislative Republicans a resounding mandate to keep doing what we're doing. And that is exactly what this caucus intends to do, to lead and to keep Iowa moving. The message of the minority party is clearly not resonating with the people of Iowa. Actually, Democrats are in a worse position in the state of Iowa, political position in the state of Iowa after the 2020 elections. But that's okay. Keep giving floor speeches like that. Keep tweeting like that. Keep spreading a message of fear and hopelessness. And I'm confident that the people of Iowa will see right through it and continue to support a hopeful, uplifting, positive, forward-thinking conservative agenda for Iowa. And to all my Republican colleagues in the chamber, don't worry. This is a one-off response. We will not be distracted by these sideshows. We are plowing full steam ahead to implement a bold conservative agenda for Iowa, and we won't quit. So I'm using this as a one-off response, not to what the senator from Johnson said yesterday, but to his conduct and blatant disrespect to the president of the Senate and the rules by which senators are bound. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Selce, seek the floor?
Am I in order for a personal point of privilege, Mr. President?
You are in order.
Thank you. Good morning, colleagues. I was having some thoughts yesterday after Senator Bolcom's excellent point, and I got to the real issue about what my constituents ask me all the time when they see a bill coming out of the Republican majority here in the Senate. Here's what they ask me most often. Who is pushing this? Who is sponsoring this bill? Who is carrying this idea forward to our public discourse? So I asked them to go to the legislative website and look at the legislative, each bill, and on each bill there is a lobbyist declaration. So I asked them, who is supporting this bill? So if you can look on there and see if they're being supported by organizations like Tyson or Iowa Select Farms or Smithfield. Their names probably won't be on there, but big ag names like Farm Bureau probably will be. If MidAmerican Energy is lobbying for it, then it's probably a bill they ought to be disturbed by. So on those two instances, the first two, Tyson, Iowa Select Farms, Smithfield, Farm Bureau, I'm standing up for the meatpacking workers, the small producers here in Iowa who are being run out of business by the big guys. And in the case of MidAmerican's bills, I'm standing up for the small solar installers, the farmers who are trying to save a few pennies on their power bills, and homeowners who are trying to do something to do their part to combat climate change. That's who I'm standing up for. And we have to ask ourselves, if a bill is being supported by Blue Cross Blue Shield or Iowa Total Care that limits telehealth parity during a pandemic, are you carrying water for them? Are you carrying water for the patients who desperately need telehealth services and mental health care during a pandemic? Are you standing up for totally unregulated homeschoolers, which you don't seem to include in any of your 100% education plans this year? Or are you standing up for children? In this case, dead children, like my constituent, Natalie Finn, who dropped out of the system and was dead in 4 months. Or another nearby child named Sabrina Ray, who lost her life in a dingy basement in Perry, who also dropped out of school, never to be seen again in the home school system. Are you standing up for political cronies like Ashton Kutcher and giving him a no-bid contract? Or are you standing up for the elderly people in nursing homes and assisted living facilities like my mom and dad, who didn't get any tests when players in the Big Ten were getting daily PCR tests? Who are you carrying water for? That is the question that you need to ask yourself every day. I know who I'm carrying my water for. I ask you to ask yourself the same question. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the Senator from Marshall, Senator Edler, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would I be in order for a point?
You are in order.
You know, we just heard about needing to have truths on this floor, and I'd like to know the bill number that was out there that would limit parity on telehealth. I'm not aware of a bill that did that, and actually, due to the governor's proclamation and the agreement of our insurance companies and payers, they took that on to take care of Iowans. So with that, thank you. I just want to make sure we have the truth on the floor.
Seeing no further senators seeking the floor, the Senate will stand at ease.
Democrats will caucus.
Hold on, Zach. After. We're going ahead right now. We're going into the joint convention right now.
Did the committee from the House just drive?
Or no, we're going to adjourn first. Just answer.
Democrats will caucus after adjournment.
The Senate will be in order. The chair recognizes the Senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that upon dissolution of the joint convention, the Senate be adjourned until 9 a.m. Friday, January 15th.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Upon the dissolution of the joint convention, the Senate will be adjourned until 9 a.m. Friday, January 15th. In accordance with House Concurrent Resolution 3, the Senate will proceed to the House chamber in columns of two, led by the Senate President and the Secretary of the Senate.